Did Madame Maxime want to bring him back? Asked Harry.
She could see it was right important to me, said Hagrid, twisting his enormous hands. But she got a bit tired of him after a while, I must admit. So we split up on the journey home. She promised not to tell anyone, though.
How on earth did you get him back without anyone noticing? Said Harry.
Well, that's why it took so long, see, said Hagrid. Could only travel by night and through wild country and stuff. Course, he covers the ground pretty well when he wants to, but he kept wanting to go back.
Oh, Hagrid, why on earth didn't you let him? Said Hermione, flopping down onto a ripped-up tree and burying her face in her hands. What do you think you're going to do with a violent giant who doesn't even want to be here?
Well, now, violent, that's a bit harsh, said Hagrid, still twisting his hands agitatedly. I'll admit he might have taken a couple of swings at me when he's been in a bad mood, but he's getting better, loads better, settling down well.
What are those ropes for, then? Harry asked. He had just noticed ropes thick as saplings stretching from around the trunks of the largest nearby trees toward the place where Grawp lay curled on the ground with his back to them. You have to keep him tied up, said Hermione faintly.
Well, yeah, said Hagrid, looking anxious. You see, it's like I say, he doesn't really know his strength.
Harry understood now why there had been such a suspicious lack of any other living creature in this part of the forest. So what is it you want Harry and Ron and me to do? Hermione asked apprehensively.
Look after him, said Hagrid croakily. After I'm gone.
Harry and Hermione exchanged miserable looks. Harry, uncomfortably aware that he had already promised Hagrid that he would do whatever he asked.
What does that involve, exactly?
Hermione inquired.
Not food or anything, said Hagrid eagerly. He can get his own food, no problem. Birds and deer and stuff. No, it's company he needs. If I just knew someone was carrying on trying to help him a bit, teaching him, you know.
Harry said nothing, but turned to look back at the gigantic form lying asleep on the ground in front of them. Grawp had his back to them. Unlike Hagrid, who simply looked like a very oversized human, Grawp looked strangely misshapen. What Harry had taken to be a vast mossy boulder to the left of the great earthen mound, he now recognized as Grawp's head. It was much larger in proportion to the body than a human head, almost perfectly round and covered with tightly curling, close-growing hair the colour of bracken. The rim of a single large fleshy ear was visible on top of the head, which seemed to sit, rather like Uncle Vernon's, directly upon the shoulders, with little or no neck in between. The back, under what looked like a dirty brownish smock comprised of animal skins sewn roughly together, was very broad, and as Grawp slept, it seemed to strain a little at the rough seams of the skins. The legs were curled up under the body. Harry could see the soles of enormous, filthy bare feet, large as sledges, resting one on top of the other on the earthy forest floor.
You want us to teach him? Harry said in a hollow voice.
He now understood what Firenze's warning had meant. His attempt is not working. He would do better to abandon it. Of course, the other creatures who lived in the forest would have heard Hagrid's fruitless attempts to teach Grawp English.
Yeah, even if you just talk to him a bit, said Hagrid hopefully. 'Cause I reckon if he can talk to people, he'll understand more that we all like him, really, and want him to stay.
Harry looked at Hermione, who peered back at him from between the fingers over her face. Kind of makes you wish we had Norbert back, doesn't it? He said, and she gave a very shaky laugh.
You'll do it, then,
said Hagrid, who did not seem to have caught what Harry had just said.
We'll, said Harry, already bound by his promise. We'll try, Hagrid.
I knew I could count on you, Harry,
Hagrid said, beaming in a very watery way and dabbing at his face with his handkerchief again.
And I don't want you to put yourself out too much, like. I know you've got exams. If you could just nip down here in your invisibility cloak maybe once a week and have a little chat with him, I'll wake him up then, introduce you.
What? No, said Hermione, jumping up. Hagrid, no, don't wake him. Really, we don't need... but Hagrid had already stepped over the great trunk in front of them and was proceeding toward Grawp. When he was around 10 feet away, he lifted a long broken bough from the ground, smiled reassuringly over his shoulder at Harry and Hermione, and then poked Grawp hard in the middle of the back with the end of the bough. The giant gave a roar that echoed around the silent forest. Birds in the treetops overhead rose twittering from their perches and soared away. In front of Harry and Hermione, meanwhile, the gigantic Grawp was rising from the ground, which shuddered as he placed an enormous hand upon it to push himself onto his knees, and turned his head to see who and what had disturbed him.